live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, folks. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm your host, John Ray. We are not in our usual spot inside Renaissance Bank, but we're still in Alpharetta, and we're looking to go get back into Renaissance, our branch there on Windward Parkway someday soon. But in the meantime, the folks at Renaissance are, they're specialists in personal banking. Yeah, they're a big multi-state bank, and they're big enough to handle all your business needs, pretty much soup to nuts. But if you want someone that really answers the phone, like a real person, if you want that kind of experience as well, then give them a call. Go to RenaissanceBank.com, find the local office, 200 of them across the South waiting to serve you. Give them a call, make an appointment, and go see them. And I think you'll be glad you did. And I can say that personally from some of the clients that I work with. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Danny Vandermaiden. And Danny is with Cressa. Danny, welcome.
John, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. It's really is an honor. I appreciate everything that you do with this show for, you know, not just for the North Fulton community, but also Atlanta as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, let's get to you, though. Turn the spotlight to you, and let's let everybody know how you're serving folks out there and how you do that at Cressa.
Will do. Yeah, thank you. I am a tenant rep with Cressa, and, you know, I mean, more often when I introduce that, a lot of people have never really heard of that term before. What is a tenant rep? And my best explanation is we're real estate experts that work exclusively for tenants. And, you know, to expand a little bit more on that simple definition, a lot of what we do is for companies who use commercial real estate, office, and industrial assets. We assimilate data and we use expertise to help execute a transaction. More often than not, those transactions are leases, renewals, relocations, and a lot of what we see right now going on, downsizing. And we also help companies who are looking to purchase assets for their use, and companies who own buildings and industrial properties who are looking to sell as well. And a lot of our mantra is being a real estate company built for companies. And that differentiates us because there's a lot of real estate companies out there who provide real estate services for owners. And the distinction between ourselves and those other companies is that we focus 110% of our energy and our platform and resources to helping the best companies navigate strategy.
So,
hope that wasn't too much. I'm sorry.
No, this was great. And actually educating me, which is not that hard. So thank you. But thank you for educating me, because I could always learn something. And what I'm hearing here is that Cressa is 100% tenant rep, does not correct represent the owners of real estate.
Correct. We're the world's largest company that does just that. And wow, what that allows us to do is eliminate opportunities for conflict of interest that are ever present within real estate transactions, as you can imagine. I mean, largely, there are two distinct parties in a transaction. You've got a user and you've got an owner. And above that, there are a lot of different companies who do different things in commercial real estate, from building to engineering to helping finance purchase and sale of those assets. But when you boil it right down to it, you've got owners and users, and Cressa looks at users, and that's everything that we do is geared towards what a user needs and what in what a user requires. And it allows for us to specialize, which is very important, but we don't ever have to worry about a scenario where we're helping negotiate a lease, for example, in a building that's owned by a large institutional firm that's hired us in another market to represent them, because those are awkward conversations. Mm. It's tough to be completely transparent, and it's tough to do the right thing for both parties in that transaction, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And particularly in a time like we're sitting in today, where the tenant landlord relationship is much more apt to be a little more adversarial than it was 6-9 months ago, right?
You're spot on. Landlords are worried and concerned as much as tenants are.
Sure.
As much as companies that you and I know and work with who are asking themselves, what are we going to do with this office that we're uncertain as to whether or not we're even going to use it? We've got a lease that's coming due and it's expiring at the end of this year. How the heck do we make an informed decision about what we're going to do long term? And landlords are in that same area of concern where they're not getting a lot of calls for companies that are looking to take 2/3 of their building. They're not getting a lot of calls from existing tenants that are saying, all right, I'm ready to discuss a 5, a 7, or a 10-year extension right now. And when you evaluate that scenario and you look at both of those parties, their interests conflict, or they're not aligned with one another. And so now more than ever, I found that a lot of my clients and a lot of my prospects and a lot of companies that are in that position need an impartial mind more than ever. And so it's been the mantra of the last 4 or 5 months, as I'm sure you can appreciate.
Sure. Now let's talk about the geography that you specialize in. I mean, you mentioned offices as a, you know, office space, and that's a specialty for you. Talk about the, mm-hmm. what the geography looks like.
So a lot of where I've spent my time in the last 4 years with Cressa has been along the 400 corridor, north of Perimeter, but within Perimeter, and right up to McFarland Road. There's been so much activity in that Roswell, Alpharetta, Milton area. Not to say that I help companies in Atlanta. I help companies in various cities across the United States, in Denver and Fargo, North Dakota, is a recent transaction I'm helping to work with, in Washington, D.C., and Tampa. But a lot of what I know and a lot of what I track and a lot of what I follow in commercial real estate, it's along that 400 corridor, because over the last 4 years, we've seen so much growth, and there's been so much momentum in that area from a commercial real estate standpoint. As you know, being involved with a number of the organizations in this area and the companies that you work with as well. And so that's a lot of where I've spent my time. I probably spent more time bumming around commercial office buildings on the 400 corridor than I would have ever thought I would in my entire life. But it's been great. And, you know, the benefit to that is really being a resource to companies who appreciate the area for what it is, or who are looking to enter it and take advantage of what's there. And as you know, as well as anybody else, when you've got a concentrated area of relationships like that, it makes you a valuable resource to the clients that you work with, as it would for me as well. And so I love everything about this area and everything it's been doing over the last 4 years. It's great. And despite COVID, I think that there's more than enough reason to remain optimistic about Alpharetta and Roswell for the foreseeable future.
Folks, we're here with Danny Vandermaten, and Danny is with Cressa. He's a vice president tenant rep at Cressa. Danny, let's get into that. So you, since you brought it up, you know, the outlook for the Alpharetta, Roswell, the Georgia 400 corridor, I mean, what What do you see? I mean, there are a lot of cross currents, one way or the other. And let's just put it out there. Nobody really knows what's going to happen going into next year, 2021. But what are the big markers you're looking at?
The big markers, generally speaking, about that metro area are, for the time being, I know a temporary area and sense of relief for a lot of companies right now is less density. You have the classic Alpharetta Roswell office building is a 5 or 6 story mid-rise is what we refer to them as, where you're not going to be waiting 30 or 45 minutes or even an hour right now to take the elevator up to the 50th floor, because that is posing an issue in some of our denser submarkets of Atlanta, like Midtown and Buckhead and downtown. That's not to say that everybody's going to hop on this mass exodus to the area. But as it stands right now, when you look at activity and when you look at companies making moves and committing, I believe that you see more comfort in these areas up here for that very reason. And developer interest to continue to add to this area remains the same. There's an enormous greenstone office development that's going up on spec right across from Avalon, and it's set to deliver the beginning of next summer. And that type of faith and that type of commitment is uncanny. And granted, across Atlanta, there's about 6 million square feet of office still going up for development within this next year. But with an Alpharetta and Roswell, developer faith and developer confidence remains as strong as it ever has because of what we've just seen over the last 4 years with the success of Avalon. And now what we're seeing along the Northwind Summit area close to where Haines Bridge and 400 intersect. So I think that you'll continue to see these assets lease up pretty quickly and at great rates. And, you know, to boot with that, you just see a lot of what Alpharetta has done with their city center and what Alpharetta is doing with the North Point area right now. And I think that will carry us through this pandemic, and it will posture the area tremendously well when we ever get back to what will be that new normal, whatever it looks like. It won't be exactly the same as it was before this pandemic, but we will return to some semblance of it. And for all of those reasons I just stated, I think Alpharetta and Roswell and North Fulton poised for success.
So that interest that is there, whatever the level of it is, how much of that comes from those companies that are in those 50-story buildings, you know, in Midtown, downtown, in Metro Atlanta versus out of town, out of area, that may be coming from those same concrete canyons that are located in San Francisco or New York or wherever?
Could you repeat the first part of that?
How much of that interest that you see in Alpharetta and Roswell is coming from basically inside the perimeter of Atlanta versus other markets like New York, San Francisco, what have you?
That's a great question. And it's mixed. I would say that what you find in Alpharetta and Roswell are a lot of large locations for national and global companies who, in some instances, will move from the denser areas of Atlanta. But largely, I think what we see are a lot of these companies that have grown in this area and continue to stay in this area that are making these moves. Avalon, for example. I can think of the 5 or 6 tenants in 8000 Avalon, that first mid-rise that went up. And I believe 80%, 90% of that building filled up with tenants who existed in areas around what Avalon was and have flourished in what it's become. Mm. Now, in some instances, you will see companies who are relocating from areas in town, but not as much as you think. I would say more of the activity that I typically see in Alpharetta, it's from companies that are entering the market who are headquartered in other cities, who see talent in the workforce available here and who see economic feasibility for cost of living, as well as great schools and excellent access to 400 and into the city that the area provides. So it's not really an answer to say it's largely one or the other, but you see a lot of everything. And I think that this area really holds its own. And, I don't think anytime in the near future we'll see an enormous amount of companies, just like I had already talked about, just exit the dense areas of Atlanta. But I think that you will see a lot of them consider it. And what they'll do, if they're making those intelligent decisions, is to look at where our employees, where is our future talent going to come from? And a lot too, what is it going to cost us? But, I think that those other submarkets hold well for a lot of their own reasons. But, Alpharetta, we get a good mix of companies just opening up new offices, companies relocating from other submarkets, but really a lot of companies already in the market shuffling within the area around and staying. So hope that answers the question.
No, that's helpful. And I guess the one thing you wonder is what, for those that are in this market, I mean, what are you that they've got a decision to make? Maybe before this pandemic, they were looking to expand. I mean, maybe their lease is running out. I know everybody's got a different circumstance, and I get that. But what are some of the things you're telling your clients that are at a decision point?
Great question. Best way to answer that is to probably tell a story. Client I worked with who was in that exact boat. They had a lease that was ending this December, and they were in more space than what they needed. They already knew they were in more space than what they needed, but when this pandemic occurred, it more or less forced the decision to say, okay, how do we evaluate what we need to downsize? How do we evaluate what we're going to require for our next lease term? And essentially what they're trying to do is, in the setting of this pandemic and of really not using their office, deciding, I believe we're still going to need an office, but we want less of it. And so what we did was we worked to figuring out, okay, what does your footprint require? How many offices are you going to need, and what kind of use are you going to get out of the common areas that your space already has? What we ended up structuring was an opportunity for them to downsize early before their lease ended, and essentially take the last part of their lease and decrease that expenditure to start their new lease. And so effectively, their lease was set to expire at the end of December. They weren't sure what they were going to do. January 1st, what we ended up doing was downsizing and putting together a deal to start their new lease September to help save money that they had been stressed with as a result of this pandemic. They saw losses like a lot of great companies have, but effectively what it allowed for them to do was to breathe and to also take advantage of, a market where, okay, that normally might have been a 7-year commitment. And we were able to commit to only a 5-year lease term. And so, for those companies, I guess, to just talk from a high level about those types of problems, I think that the best companies aren't making knee-jerk decisions. They're not making wide sweeping decisions to say, okay, let's just do away with the office entirely. Let's just not have any space for our employees to come back to when this is over, and let's just try to go, guns blazing into this remote work thing and just see how it works. The best companies are not just jumping in without putting enough thought into asking themselves, all right, which employees are we going to allow to work from home? Mm-hmm. How are we going to phase in use of our office space for those individuals that need to meet? How are we going to onboard our new hires through this and make them feel like they're part of the company while also affording them the safety of choosing to work remote? And I think that is the largest challenge for companies right now. But the ones that are taking the best steps and that are making the best decisions are asking themselves, okay, we've been forced into this experiment for the last 5 months now. What are what are the advantages of this? What's really working and what's not for us? What's hurting us as a result of this? What do we miss from being able to be around one another? And using this empirical information that we've gathered now to help guide our future. And the best scenario is for tenants to be able to kick the can down the road, another 12 months, another 18 months, and give themselves the benefit of a short-term obligation and to put a quick Band-Aid on this right now, but not really call it a Band-Aid, call it an opportunity to explore what is our office of the future going to look like. For some companies, this pandemic has validated the need for office space. For a lot of companies, they've come to a realization, wow, we do really well. In some instances, our employees work better from home. And, you know, I would say that over the next 12 months, as this continues, we'll see some of the better companies continue to do that. And a lot of our role as advisors, as experts to the transaction is to help guide and navigate those decisions through that process and adapt as well. Because if you have to make a decision like my client did before the end of this year, what information are you using? What are you assimilating to make an intelligent decision that will impact your business one way or the other, whether you sell it at a future date or whether you continue to see a decline in growth as a company or whether you continue to see the upward trajectory? What are we assimilating for that decision beyond the next 12 months? And I hope that answers the question. I went off in a lot of different places there, but you know, the answer being every company is doing something unique. No company's recipe for dealing with this pandemic is immediately transferable to the next, because every company, we all knew this and it sounds trendy, every company has its own heartbeat and different things work for different organizations, because companies aren't limited to just the space they occupy. They are defined by their leaders and the individuals that comprise the entirety of the company. And so, you know, I think that a lot of the coaching and a lot of the collaboration and decision making is going to go a long ways to guiding the future of the office, the future of the facility for these companies in this area and globally.
Folks, we're here speaking with Danny Vandermeiden, and Danny is with Cressa. So, Danny, the knee-jerk opinion right now is that people are not going to use as much office space in the future as they have in the past. I mean, that's the knee-jerk opinion. Not to say that the knee-jerk opinion is wrong, but mm-hmm. sometimes it often is, because that's the easiest opinion to have right now. So, you know, I wonder about the other side of it, which is that with distancing, with the growth in the area, you know, those are two factors that speak to continued demand for space, you know, overall. Mm-hmm. And how does that interplay with the fact that there will be some folks that just don't need as much space and don't want as much space as they had in the past? So how do those two cross currents, do you think, sort out over the next few years?
Yeah. So if I'm hearing that right, how do we justify building more buildings and more industrial facilities if we believe as a society and as a culture we're going to use less of it?
Yeah, that's one way to answer the question. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a great question. I wish I had the crystal ball to be able to figure out, oh, what is this going to look like? How do you provide right now, or make the decision to provide precisely what's going to be needed 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now? And I think what developers are relying on is the momentum that we had prior to COVID. The last 10, 11 years in commercial real estate, looking at office and industrial real estate especially, you've seen tremendous growth, tremendous development just that has changed the landscape of not just Atlanta, but major metropolitan areas across the world. And I believe that when this subsides, whenever that is, and man, I hope it's soon. I hope it's soon, not selfishly for commercial real estate, but I hope it's soon because I miss a lot of the parts of life that I probably took for granted before this, like being able to grab a cup of coffee with you and being able to casually meet up with friends traveling through town. But I believe that in the next 12 months, whenever this returns to normal, that companies and individuals will have a stronger value system for what the workplace provides them. It might not be quite the size of what it was before. A lot of companies might decide, you know what, we did things so great. And I'm talking with companies right now that are doing things really well remotely. And as long as things remain the same, they will not need a lot of what they occupied heading into this pandemic. But I believe that the value system for having a workplace and for having what I didn't take it seriously before this, but what I do now, the culture of their companies and the ability to grow teams and to grow enthusiasm across the organization in person. And for that reason, I believe that we will continue to see development and growth, not necessarily at the levels we saw over the last 10 years in Atlanta and globally, but I believe that we'll continue to see development of new office, new industrial product, and even some new retail. Call me crazy, but some new retail over the next 5 years that will accommodate that value system that's evolving as we speak right now. Part of what's evolving, as I already touched on, is an appreciation for what we had. I miss my coworkers, John. I miss them so much. Sure. I get to see them on Zoom calls and we get to talk on the phone, but you know what you can't replace on a Zoom call, which is better than a phone call, but it's not as good as in person. You can't replace or even replicate the camaraderie and the relationship that forms when you're able to do casual things like go to lunch or sit down at the same table and work on something with one another or train someone. Onboarding for companies has been a bit of a challenge, and to my knowledge, no entity has yet mastered, but it is evolving, and I believe companies are trying to get by with what they can right now. But long answer to what you just asked, where you see a lack of demand for something intersect with, you know, future development, I think what we'll see is we'll see a change and an upswing back into wanting to get to work in person when we finally arrive at either getting a vaccine or when we slowly transition ourselves back into having enough faith and having enough confidence in our health safety to return to work.
Folks, we've been here with Danny Vandermaten, and he is with Cressa. Danny, as we kind of wrap it up here, you mentioned one situation that you work with that sounds like a successful outcome, but I'm curious if you've got any success stories beyond that that you'd like to share that illustrates the value of having a tenant rep when you're making these decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. For a lot of companies on the very front end of this, we were set to kick off the project. We were set to kick off a relocation or set to kick off an expansion. And one in such particular was a company we were looking to double their footprint, and we were in the middle of it. And all of a sudden COVID hit, and they were wondering to themselves, gosh, we're knee deep in this right now. We've got an expiration coming up. What are we going to do? How can we comfortably make this decision to double our expense and at the same time not know whether or not we're going to be able to use it at the back end of this? And so what we were able to do was walk our client through the process of what it could look like to just kick this can down the road. And, you know, it took a lot of, there was a lot of information being thrown about at the beginning of this, but what we decided as a firm, in the absence of what we don't know, we can't comfortably advocate taking on more space right now, unless there's a really good reason for it. So what we did for this group was we effectively negotiated and stuck with an extension of 18 months of the term, which you'd have to be in real estate to appreciate, but before COVID, no landlord would have considered anything less than a 3 or 5 year term. And so a lot of that came with, you know, on our side, understanding what a company's needs were and working them through the process of asking this of their existing landlord. And so, you know, there are different success stories in this climate, and a lot of them you'll find, you know, from individuals like myself are doing the right thing and doing what we can to help the company make short-term decisions to ride out what could be a long-term problem. So I hope that provided what we wanted.
That sounds like good work. Danny Vandermaten with Cressa, this has been great, and really appreciate your insights and thoughts as a number of companies look to make a lot of decisions here in the coming months, either with existing space or with prospective space, and they're going to want to be in touch. So let's tell them how they can do that.
So you can send me an invite or a message on LinkedIn, Danny Vandermaten. I don't know of another Danny Vandermaten out there. If you find one, let me know. Should be an easy enough name for everybody to find, or you could call me. My cell phone is 404-989-6618. That's my direct mobile number.
Awesome. Danny Vandermaten from Cressa. Thanks so much for being with us.
John, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you again.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Folks, if you've got a problem that involves administrative tasks that are weighing you down, maybe you've got a bookkeeping mess, receipts in a shoebox, something like that, well, I've got an answer for you. And it involves SE Escobedo and Office Angels. So just pick up the phone and give her a call at 770-442-9246. SE will diagnose your problem. She'll find an angel in her team that will fly in virtually, and they've been virtual for 18 years, so they know how to operate in this environment, get the work done on an ongoing or as-needed basis, and fly back out. So she's got a terrific group of angels, and I would encourage you to give her a call or go to officeangels.us to find more information, and you'll be glad you did. Just another quick reminder as we wrap up here. This show is on all the major podcast apps. North Fulton Business Radio is the search term. We would love it if you would go give us a review, subscribe, listen to the show, and go give us a review. And we'd love it if you give us a great review, because you're reviewing the guests that we have and enabling folks to find the show and find business leaders like Danny that can be helpful to folks here in the North Fulton area. So that would be awesome. We would appreciate it if you would do that. We're also on social media, North Fulton BRX on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. So for my guest, Danny Vandermaten, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.